You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Okay, let's do some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. That's obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. To reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Here's the thing. Information is power. Information is money. Literally, the currency of today's world of entrepreneurship is information. And if you could bring all of the information about your business into one dashboard, this is incredibly valuable. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of the truth about your business. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. This is so valuable. You just hit a button and you can see all the information about your business instead of having to like call five different departments and get all these emails and put it all together and make sense of it. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/James. netsuite.com/James. netsuite.com/James.
This isn't your average business podcast, and he's not your average host. This is the James Altucher Show.
Everyone, welcome back to the companion podcast for the James Altucher Show. As usual, James is not going to be here because he's way too busy and way too important to be on a companion podcast, right, Nathan?
If you've been listening to the episode, you know he's probably playing chess.
Oh, right. I can actually see if he's playing chess or not because I edit him on Lee Chess. So every time when he's not coming on the podcast, I'm like, I'm going to go to the website and see if he's playing chess or if he's like winning or losing.
That's hilarious.
I think he learned now that he know I'm spectating him. So I think he's playing on the new account now. So the companion podcast, we do this every month and then we usually talk about the episode during that month.
We had some really interesting episodes in the last month and a half and I have found a lot of really rewarding things from listening to them. The episode that came out after our first companion podcast was a James and Jay special, episode 691, titled You Should Run for President 2.0. At first, I was a little skeptical because I didn't really know what was going to happen. It seemed there's a little bit of cheeky stuff in there.
Wait. So just curious, like a little bit of cheeky stuff, like after you listen to the podcast or when you look at the title when I said
when I looked at it, it seemed like I didn't know what I was getting into. It seemed like it might be too far-fetched to believe.
Okay.
But it was also pretty catchy.
Oh, thank you.
Leading up to the 2020 presidential election, he had a lot of flack from his neighbors, people who were talking to, because he said he wasn't going to vote. And people were saying, well, you shouldn't have a voice. You know, you need to vote. If you're not voting, then you don't deserve to have a voice. And James correctly said, there are obvious circumstances where that's not true, such as being a social commentator, reaching out to an audience in a way where, you know, he's not pitching it to one side, or just as independent saying, what if I was running for president? Then wouldn't my voice be valid, whether or not I was voting for somebody? So he did, filed with the FEC to be a U.S. presidential candidate, and he brought back up his negative sales tax platform, and he discussed it further with Philip Stutz in episode 695, and it's actually a really solid anchor. It was kind of buried in there.
Does this concept or idea ever cross your mind? Like, anyone can run for president in U.S.?
Well, anyone who's a naturalized U.S. citizen above the age of 35.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew that much, but it seemed kind of a foolhardy thing because of how the two-party system is.
Right.
Two private organizations, their sole purpose is to stay in power.
Before the podcast, like, I didn't know there are more than 1,000 presidential candidates in 2020, to be honest. And I didn't even know you can run for president. Like, I didn't know, like, you can sign up for president until James did that. Yeah, I remember he did that all on his own. Like, one day I just got on and then he's like, Jay, I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm like, oh, sure. What? Am I being fired? He's like, no. He's like, no. He's like, I'm actually running for president. I'm like, what? And then we actually sat down. I got on Zoom before I do another podcast. And he's like, yeah, I'm doing all this thing. And now I'm doing this. Okay, cool. I didn't know you can do that. I thought it's only, what, red and blue? I thought it's only red and blue and Kanye. That's it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's it. James always wanted to be the translator to people, right? So like, the reason why he doesn't want to vote because, you know, he wants to stay as neutral as possible. Even in, I think, the episode with Phil said he mentioned that back then, like, if you're a journalist, you can't even vote. But I'm sure, like, right now, like, even the past elections, all the journalists vote. But back to the episode, you should run for president. That's an interesting one because, like, James always turned anything, like, from what he learned into an experiment. So part of the reason why he wanted to run for president is because he wanted to learn the process. And it can be a good story. Just like, remember that he wrote an article of buying Greenland?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's exactly the same experiment. So he just wanted to learn as many things as possible. So he remained as curious as possible. And then the episode 695 with Philsa, that's way interesting. I think that's like the sequel to the episode 691. Because mm-hmm. like Philsa actually breaks down like the political campaign and they talk about the possible platform people should run on in general. Like you said, the negative sales tax, that's actually really smart.
I agree. The negative sales tax idea, James has mentioned that over the past year, made a lot of sense when he was talking about the economic straits that New York City was going through during the pandemic. It taps into the public's need for local economies to remain strong.
When's the last time you go to Amazon and buy things?
Yesterday.
Me too. The thing is, Amazon is so easy. You just one click and it's done. Like, how can you beat Amazon? The only thing you can do is like the
financial incentive.
Yeah, financial incentive, yeah. The negative sales tax, which I think Andrian should run on, to be honest.
So that's a good idea. And then what Philip Stutt added on to mm-hmm. was instead of having this money be essentially a treasury bond, a 10-year T-bond, the idea of having a federal cryptocurrency.
Right.
I don't know if either of those two things would work, but combining the two together, you might have a chance to get one of them done.
Yeah. And also, like, I always think that, like, every time you propose something new, like, idea like this, you might propose something that's very fundamental, very bare bone, right? So maybe we were like, oh, it might not work or whatever. And then when you throw it out there, people find loopholes, people find creative things to use it on. It's just like the NFTs. People are like, oh, this thing, it's a smart contract or whatever. It's they put it out there and all of a sudden, thousands of people are using it in a creative way. And the funniest thing, I don't know if you heard this, the funniest thing that one audio engineer from Brooklyn find NFT so dumb. So what happened is he was selling his fart noise NFT for $86. I don't know if you've seen that. It's funny. It's funny because I everyone's like so, you know, so hype about NFT and this guy's like, this thing is dumb. So what happened is during lockdown, everyone has nothing else to do. So he just recorded his fart noise, you know, for a whole year and then he was selling it for $86. I don't know if anyone is buying it, but I think that's really smart.
It's an interesting experiment.
It's a very interesting experiment. It could end up be like the Banksy of NFTs. Yeah. So like, you know, like once, you know, James proposed the negative sales tax out there and then people might pick it up and then they might turn it into something even more usable.
That's right. It just seemed like, you know, how Andrew Yang got prominent on a federal scale talking about freedom dividend. His ideas did get cemented into the American brain because what happened right after he dropped out of the race? You had this pandemic and right. People needed money. And there's been three rounds of stimulus money, child tax credit expansion that's trying to get, you know, extended through a budgetary process. So you see that kind of idea of direct payments happening less than a year after he talked about it on a national stage when it hadn't been really discussed in a number of decades. For Andrew himself, he's now running for mayor of New York, where something like a negative sales tax or some kind of municipal stimulus for people could be implemented on a scale that could be then adopted on a wider scale. So it's much easier to implement a sales tax when you're running a municipality that collects sales tax like New York does, as opposed to on a federal level. There's currently no federal sales tax. But there is a federal sales tax, like in Europe, you know, you have a VAT tax. So what James was talking about would basically be a negative value-added tax that could be redeemable for a crypto 10-year T-bond. Reverse over here, what Andrew's talking about is, you know, he could actually have that policy implemented winning mayor of New York on a local scale, which could be adopted later on a national policy, like you saw with the socialized medicine under Mitt Romney in Massachusetts.
Yeah, and that's what James always talk about, right? Even in Choose Yourself, right? So you don't necessarily have to have like big ideas, big ambitions to do big things, right? You just start small. Like if you have an idea for an app, rather than automating it, just do it manually and see how you get feedback. And then people give you feedback, people give you better ideas, and then you build upon it. You know, speaking of pandemic, what do you think about the episode 692 with Peter Openshaw again? I think the episode almost marked the 1 year of the pandemic, right? 1 year of the pandemic and the lockdown. What do you think about that episode?
It was great to hear from the man who is not afraid to say, I don't know, and let's use the best information as it arrives.
After the episodes like the 692, I actually felt more comfortable. Like even though he has a lot of, we still don't know about this, we still don't know about this. But it felt a lot more safer. You know what I mean? I felt a lot more safer and more comfortable, like doing what I wanted to do, like going out and, you know, whatever. Because like he actually, he present data in a sense that like he comparing now and then, you know, like then we really have no idea about anything. And then we just heard about people on Twitter saying this, that. Right now he gave a lot more, you know, like even though the I don't know is on the vaccine, like he didn't know what's the effects of the vaccine is going to be. But still like, you know, like, but at least we know that vaccine actually helps. You know, we might not know what's the effects in longer terms, but we know what's the effects in the short terms. So I think that episodes make me like feel like, okay, we actually did something in that year's time. We weren't just sit around and not helping the society, or we just sit around and wait for the doom to happen. And then that sort of segue into episode 693, which I kind of like because like, that whole year during the lockdown, I felt like what I did, they just sit around and look at my phone and wait for emails to come in. I don't know if you do the same thing. That's what I did. I just look at the email like, okay, am I getting work? Am I getting a lot of work? Am I not getting work? And then when I'm working, I still have my phones on my table and then all of a sudden it rings. I'm like, oh, God damn it. Who wants something from me again? You know what I mean?
Yes, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, because like, if you're in the office, that wouldn't happen.
No. But you didn't say what number 693 was, which was A World Without Email with Cal Newport.
Yes. Thank you, Nathan. I was just so excited about that. Because like that, I can relate to that episode very, very much. It's because I literally was, let's say I'm editing an episode or a podcast, and all of a sudden I got an email from someone say, hey, can you check this? All of a sudden, you know, you sort of, your flow just got broken. You know, and you're like, you have to worry about that. And then you're like, I really want to finish this. I don't know if I should reply. You know, all of a sudden, half an hour gone by, just deciding between continue to work or reply that email. I think, was it Stephen Cutler that say that, you know, once your flow get cut off, it takes another 20 minutes to get back your flow? Was it Stephen Cutler?
That's right.
Because he's the flow guy.
That episode impacted me immediately because I was noticing how much I would get knocked out of my flow. I deal with a lot of email day in and day out. I checked in with the team I work with at HarperCollins later that day, thinking about the amount of emails that we receive. Currently, I have a small group on my post-production team, and we get CC'd on a lot of emails to kind of be able to have each other's backs when we're right. to make sure nothing falls through the cracks when you have a small team handling a large amount. But I often just check email because I'll look in my inbox and there'll be 20 emails and only two of them will be addressed to me. 18 right. of them are just kind of peripheral and I don't ever need to see. And it was just like, wow, there is really a lot of distraction coming in that pulls me out of my process when you're trying to actually work on something as opposed to just manage things.
Yeah, even that 18 emails that doesn't really address you, you sort of feel bad because, like, let's say if the email is about someone's project, you know, getting ruined, and you're like, oh, god damn it, what are these guys doing? And you're sort of got that negative feeling, and then you're just like, no, I can't get back to the flow anymore.
I started out blocking more time and just turning off Outlook and focusing, saying, I'm going to do this block of time. Here's the most important things. You know, you're talking about eating the frog, just taking care of the worst things first and blocking out the time so it's done with it. And then just having a segmented scheduled day where you're dedicating times to things. You can dedicate time later in the day or during a time to check email and make sure that nothing crazy has happened. You know, you can have a check email time. A lot of us live in this rapid response world where our emotion, our anxiety is telling us that we have to respond. We have to find an answer to the thing that just hit our inbox, the thing that's at the top of the inbox. And it's not really true in most of the cases. It's just taking us away from achieving the task that we were already working on.
Yeah. So which do you find better? Do you have like two inbox checking calendar slot, or do you only have one each day?
What I'm currently doing is structuring some blocks of time to work on specific projects I need to get done. And I do right. that a lot in order of what I need to focus on the most or what I want to get off my mind. And then yeah. I'll block off some unstructured time where it's just nobody put a meeting on my calendar. And that time is my figure out what I need to do with that block of time. And yeah. hopefully it can get more structured as I'm able to implement a flow. But things change from week to week. So it's good to have that malleability.
Yeah, especially in our line of work, right? Like you never know like when the project is going to come in. And we never know when's the deadline. You know, sometimes we're just afraid of, you know, like missing deadline. But I felt like, you know, like that I felt like that's just bad for mentally health anyway.
Indeed.
Yeah, it's funny because like the episodes, I got like personal feedback from a friend of mine. I think he's a friend of yours too. David Weiss from Sonic Scoop.
Yeah, of course I know David.
Yeah. So David texted me like, say, hey, Jay, you know, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, I want to tell you how terrific the episodes was. And then he said that, yeah, the big aha moment for him is he had to turn all the notification off on his phone, except text messages, to avoid the context switching. Shout out to David. He's a great yeah. person.
All his years at Mix Magazine before he started up Sonic Scoop.
Yeah, so like I felt like that episode is great because it's an episode about actions. I would call it the actionable episodes. Like you listen to it and you can take action right away and be like, yes, I can do this and change my life, you know? Because I'm going to try to weave into another episode. Because the episodes, like if you get so much text, you will get burned out very quickly. Which mm-hmm. led me to episode 701 with Natalie Rachel. She is the behavioral economist. That I can relate to the episodes very, very well because I could be wrong, but I think I'm experiencing some sort of burnout as well. Not so much of like, hey, you know, I have a lot of work, I'm too busy and I get burned out. It's more of like, okay, I'm all alone here. I'm working for James. And then sometimes, you know, James got too busy. Sometimes he didn't get back in time for me. I'm like, ah, crap. Now I just have to wait. You know, of course, I'm doing something else when I wait. But like sometimes when something it's on a deadline, I'm like, ah, crap. It's the anxiety just eats me away.
I was really interested to hear the clinical definition of burnout and have this differentiation between just being worn out and seeing key markers like pulling away from like your family, pulling away from work, the depression and the fatigue, and also just getting worse, the sloppier at your job, not being able to get it done.
Have you experienced any of this?
So all three of them.
Really?
Yeah.
During the lockdown or?
Yeah. I mean, yes, certainly. You know, it probably happened around the same time that it happened to James. We're, you know, doing 5 episodes a week and adding on a bunch of other stuff. When you're freaked out about whether money is going to continue to come in, you're just like, I'm going to take everything I can possibly do.
Yeah.
And then the overcommitment, I've fallen prey to overcommitment before. And that mixed with like seasonal depression that, or, you know, the winter, the short hours and
winter. Yeah.
I started thinking about my personal well-being a lot after that. You know, I had listened to the Stephen Gundry episode a few episodes before, started taking 1,000 milligrams of time-release vitamin C and 10,000 cc's of vitamin D. And
yeah, I'm glad that you're feeling better.
How are you feeling?
Yeah, I mean, like, what? I think I'm still at the burnout phase because, you know, mainly because we're still pretty much locked down. It's not like, yeah, I can go out, blah, blah, blah. And then I have like friends over, blah, blah, blah. I just don't know what the future holds in terms of like, not future as in like my career future. It's more like my well-being future. You know, how I will be like in 5 years from, not even 5 years, maybe like 2 months from now. Like, how will I be? Will I be, still be the same person? Or will I be more depressed? Or will I be more happy? Yeah.
Anxiety ruled.
Yeah, and anxiety, like the anxiety just creep up. And I think a lot of people out there, they experienced this, you know, during the lockdown. And listen to the episodes really hit the home run for me too. Because like when Natalie talk about her own stories, that's terrifying. Like imagine when you woke up blind.
Jesus Christ.
That's just stress for you. So like that sort of just like say that like how important taking a break is, you know, for any of us. Like not just sitting at home taking a break as in like you take a break and you go out to different locations and do different things, you know. I think that like James said in the episodes, like that's also part of the reason why he just started playing chess so much. I realized I did the same thing too. Like, so I just started playing some games every night, 2 hours that game, you know, just to get myself out of that burnout situation, so like distract myself from doing work. Yeah, that episode really hit the home run for me, and I felt like the episode is going to hit a real home run for almost everyone out there.
Yes, it's totally true. Airbnb has changed my life. If anything, they have made my life so much better. Like I used to live in Airbnbs. I lived in over 100 or 200 different Airbnbs over a 3-year period. And I loved it. I became a really good guest of Airbnbs and I got to know lots of hosts. So when I initially owned a house, of course, the first thing I thought was I'm going to turn my house into an Airbnb because I travel a lot. So why leave my house unused when I can make a side income by letting others Airbnb my house or come to stay in my house as guests? And having my own Airbnb or being a host for Airbnb has allowed me to do just that. And I've met other hosts. I've actually spoken at Airbnb's host conference. I think it was in 2017. I met so many just nice hosts. It's a great community. And I love, you know, turning my own home into an Airbnb. Like I'm traveling to Austin next month. My home's going to be an Airbnb while I'm away, and I'll stay in an Airbnb. I'd rather stay in like a 3-story house Airbnb than in one tiny hotel room in the middle of Austin during South by Southwest. So listen, while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who are just letting their house sit empty, who've never thought about it or didn't realize their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle and is a great way to earn some extra money. So if you have a home, but you're not always at home, then you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. I remember last year I was asked to go speak at the Norway Business Summit, and I was so excited because side by side with the Business Summit was the Norway Chess Summit, where I would get to see in person Magnus Carlsen, the best chess player ever, playing chess. But it was 4 plane rides, like to get to the city that I'm ultimately ever going to. So I really did not want to fly for 14 hours. And they were willing to pay for everything for me. So I at first class. So I didn't want to fly for 14 hours and not be first class. So I had to hurry up and get on the phone immediately to get those first class tickets to a chess tournament in Norway. And listen, this is just like when, you know, you have to know when you want the best of anything, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. And I did not want those seats to fill up. So it's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. I just was talking to a friend this morning where he was trying to decide between some programmers and he waited a little too long and both the programmers he was interviewing took other jobs, like great jobs. So, you know, what's the best way then to hire the best as quickly as possible? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now you could try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/James. Just try it and see. You'll find out. So ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify the top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I know this because one time I signed up as an employee, potential employee on ZipRecruiter, and I got nonstop. Really, I was, even though obviously I wasn't looking for a job, I love what I do, but I just wanted to see what would happen because they were a sponsor of my podcast. And the most interesting jobs would pop up in my emails like, hey, you're qualified for this or that. And so it's interesting to see. So just go there and try it. Try ZipRecruiter.com/James. Amp up your hiring performance. Now, this is more for if you're hiring, but amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/James. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/James. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
I always think about this. I always think everyone is destined to have a role. Maybe you were destined to be a CEO or maybe a C-suite person, or maybe you're destined to be a worker to support other people, or maybe you're destined to be a person to help other people to achieve great things. Because I really want to talk about episode 699, how to be the CEO with Jeff Immelt. I think that the episode is great. He just talked about like his story of being a CEO, or how to be a CEO. And Jeff Immelt is such a great person. Like the first time I met him, it's the first time, you know, for the episodes, he came on and I felt like he's my friend now. I felt like I can text him like, hey, dude, you want to get Chick-fil-A tomorrow or something? It's so good at connecting with people.
Yeah, a lot of the best leaders are the best communicators and just have that magnetism.
One of the lessons that I take away from the episode, no matter what decision you make, you will know it's the best one until you make it. Because sometimes I would like spend an hour or 2 hours just trying to like make a decision on like anything. Like because James keep asking like, if that time you did this, what would happen? Why did you do this? Or why do you not do that? Or why you do that? And then he did say that, you know, James, at the time, we didn't really know what's going to happen. So we just have to make those decisions then and hope for the best. Resonate with me because like I always very indecisive.
It was interesting to hear a leader's role being in charge of a conglomerate that is so disparate in its financial streams, having NBC and then adding on Universal to that and creating NBC Universal. And they sold both of those away to Comcast. He talked about their divestiture of their financial services company, GE Financial, went over to like Synchrony Bank, I believe, after that. Or like at the same time, they're, you know, manufacturing like 90% of the world's jet engines. It just didn't make sense at some points. These decisions impact thousands of workers' lives.
Imagine you have thousands of lives on your fingertip, man. I can't be conscious of making any decisions like right there. Like, I can task myself to make decision for like thousands or possible tens of thousands of lives, you know?
Yeah. It's a difficult position to think about from the first time you begin managing people.
Yeah. I can't even make decision for like 3 people.
It's very difficult.
At some point, like I'm like the point of contact for like, you know, for you, Pam and Steve. And then, you know, before the lockdown, I'm like, I can't make decision for you guys. I will be the worst CEO ever. But I do like one thing that Jeff Immelt says, you know, you shouldn't need to ask other people for favor when you reach out to them. Like, you should be able to reach out to other people. You should reach out to other people. Even just have nothing, like, you even just wasn't asking for anything. Like, let's say I know you like NFT. If you like NFT, I would be like sending you, you know, links to this to keep our relationship going. Not just like, hey, Nathan, how are you? Actually, I need this from you. You know what I mean?
Right. Scheduling time. You know, on Sundays, I'm going to email 2 people just saying hi, just saying, hey, I thought you'd be interested in this, not asking for anything. Because we all think, oh, that's a great idea. And then we don't do it. Setting aside time to keep up your relationships seems like the cheapest thing you can do to create, you know, a really good vibe for yourself and for somebody else.
No, yeah, I felt like the episodes came out a year too late for me. So I'm an introvert. During the lockdown, I became even more introvert. Like, I felt like I haven't talked to any of my friends for a year. Like, because I'm those type of person, if you don't reach out to me, I don't reach out to you. You know, I like to just be in my zone, reading, looking at memes, you know, playing games and working. I just wasn't the type of person like, oh, maybe I should reach out to Nathan and see how he is. You feel embarrassed, you know, like, what if they are busy? What if they don't see you as friend anymore? What if they see you being too needy?
Do you think you'd actually get received that way?
I don't think it's get received that way. I think it's all in our head. What if tomorrow I just text you, hi, and nothing else, just hi?
Let's find out.
Okay, let's find out tomorrow. But yeah, so like that's why I like the episode so much. And you know, like, just because I always want to find out if I'm the C-type person, but I just realized I might not ever be the C-type person. I just feel bad for making decisions for anyone, you know?
Then you can just be you.
I'm trying to be the J-type person. Anything else that I feel to cover? Anything else you think it's great for you? Like, I mean, I'm just, you know, like, I'm just talking about those episodes that really vibe with me.
I was really interested by the retail investing masterclass that James had with Robin, where James talked about his experience being a day trader and being a hedge fund manager and being now an investor, comparing Robin's experience, Robin's been a very successful retail investor, and hearing her picks and why they do things differently, why they invest in different companies and why their decisions make sense for each of them. I was very intrigued to learn about SPACs, special purpose acquisition companies, and how those are blank check companies used to make a private company public, and how that's been, I think, happened a few hundred times in the last year, something like that. So learning about that, learning about REITs, real estate investment trusts, and then thinking about how that goes to new markets. So we're talking about MeetTech, MITC, the Israeli 3D printing company that's printing their printed steak, or sell the technology so you could print actual animal protein that is not in ground beef format. And also talking about REITs in terms of, you know, as of, I think, yesterday, so we're recording this on the 26th. On the 25th, the news came out that that the New York legislature and Governor Cuomo had reached a deal on the legalization of marijuana in New York State, and the same thing is passing through in New Jersey. So how these new markets, so like how there are companies that are cannabis-specific REITs that are investing in these things. And just, I'm starting to watch the trends and see how see how the news is impacting these different types of companies.
Do you buy any after the episodes?
I put in a little bit of play money just so I can keep interest in it. You know, I'll buy just a few shares so
skin
I can
in the game.
Minimal skin in the game, so I can just you know, like you go to a casino and you just say, "Here's how much money I have to play with," and then I'm out. That's what I'm doing with retail investing, just so I can learn more about it without having to worry about it impacting my financial outcome at this point.
Yeah. Never put more than 1% of your portfolio. That's what James always says. Never put more than 1%.
Took that advice.
Yeah, me too. But the thing is, like, the other advice that I took, it's also like, invest in something you really believe in and, you know, and you really know it. So like, I haven't buy into any of those stocks. The only stocks that I'll share that I buy, and it's like gaming stocks or crypto, like or something that I really know the industry well, because I don't have time.
I invest in the publishing industry that I know, and the news and publishing industry, digital, which is what I know well.
Yeah, it's so weird because like, I know like both of our, like out there people are talking about, oh, the weed, oh, the specs, or the, you know, the Beyond Meat or whatever, or the EV, as Robin put it, the EV.
Electric vehicles.
Yeah, so for me, I'm just like, I know gaming way better. I know gaming's hardware way better. So I'm just going to buy this company.
Put all your money in Steam.
Oh, no. Steam is not a public company. I try to look for it. And I love Discord, and Discord is not a public company either.
Well, Discord is, as today's recording on March 26th, is that Microsoft is going to buy Discord for a very, very, very large sum.
Yeah, $10 billion. Yeah, like I always love Discord more than Slack, mainly because I'm a gamer. And I felt like…
So maybe you should be investing in Microsoft right now before that deal goes through.
The episodes, the retail investing masterclass episodes, actually great, you know. So I learned so much from the episodes too. I totally forgot. And then, you know, I look into all this stuff. I even like proposed to Robin, like, hey, you should have a newsletter. Don't say anything. The newsletter just literally, what stocks are you looking at? And then say why in two sentences, and that's it. Because you don't have to spend too much time on the newsletter. And I was subscribed to it. And then I'm sure she's going to get like tens of thousands of subscribers, to be honest.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it.
Do you have anything else?
It's all the time I've got before my next recording.
All right. Even Nathan is too busy for me. That's why I'm burning out. Because you are too busy for me, Nathan. It's great to see you every month. It's like that one day every month.
Where we get to look at each other's faces, but the audience doesn't.
Thank you, Nathan.
Later, buddy.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.